It is a battle that will likely not be going away anytime soon around our neck of the woods, and it's the battle over solar farms. Someone who knows a lot about farming, Marlon Stutzman. He is one of your candidates running for Indiana's 3rd Congressional District, and he's joining us live right now to discuss. Good morning, Marlon.
Hey, good morning, Kayla. Great to be with you on WoWo this morning.
Yeah, you come from a long line of farmers, so I am really anxious as well to talk to you today about solar farms. I mean, first and foremost, Marlon, just to kind of get your temperature, you know, do you see these solar farms that are starting to pop up in several places, you know, around Noble County, Steuben County, do you see them as problematic?
Well, first of all, I don't think solar is our best source of energy to begin with, but, you know, it can supplement small operations. You know, we have a small solar array at our chicken farm that supplements the energy there, but it's not on fertile farmland. We place it in a place where we don't farm, you know, row crops. And I think there's a couple of pieces that you really have to take into consideration. First of all, farmland is at a premium high right now. The global population is growing. The American population is growing. The American farmers feed not only America, but feed greater parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that food is critical these days, and it's a national security issue. And so my concern is that we're using fertile farmland and putting solar farms on this fertile farmland where it doesn't belong. And I think that's what needs to be taken into consideration here. And the other thing, Kayla, I'd point out real quick is that Indiana is the 27th sunniest state, and we are a top 5 agricultural state in food production. So to me, I guess it just doesn't make sense to me why I would use or why we should use fertile farmland to put solar farms here. Let's put them where there's more sun and it's not fertile farm ground.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you with that sentiment. And you said something, you know, with your solar chicken coop that you have there, you talked about you being able to use that energy. But when it comes to the energy that these typical solar farms are producing, does most of that even stay here for, let's say, Hoosiers to use? Or is that being used elsewhere?
Well, it can be. It depends on the company and depends on how they tap into the grid. But that's the other problem with a lot of, you know, of our energy, our whole entire energy infrastructure is transmission of energy. And that's what they're trying to say is, well, we need to produce the energy here in Indiana so we don't have to transmit it as far, you know, and we do. We have a lot of energy needs, especially here in Indiana where we have a lot of manufacturing. We have a growing economy. Indiana is a great place to do business. But I don't think it makes sense, Kayla, to take up hundreds of acres, thousands of acres in some of these proposals of fertile farmland and put solar systems on them. You know, it's one thing, I guess, you know, there's even a debate over wind turbines, but you can still farm around a wind turbine. It does have a smaller footprint, but solar, it takes all of the farming out of production because of the way that it sits in a farm field, you know, and so there's pros and cons, and I get it, but I don't think this is the answer to our energy needs. I really believe we should be looking at coal and natural gas and nuclear. We can build micro facilities that produce energy that make a lot more sense. The problem is we have, you know, the Biden administration, Washington, D.C., continues to make it harder and harder, and they're subsidizing these solar farms. That's going to be the other problem. Kayla, as a candidate for Congress and, you know, former member of Congress, I have fought subsidies against solar, wind. I fight subsidies on a lot of levels because when these subsidies go away, these do not pay the owners or the operators of these facilities. And so it doesn't become a good economic investment.
Yeah, and I don't know if you're aware of what's really happening in Noble County, but the path is kind of being paved right now for solar companies to come into the area to put these large solar fields in the county. I think my big question to you this morning, really, Marlon, is what are concerned residents, whether they're in Noble County, Steuben County, or Allen County, you know, what are concerned residents supposed to do?
Well, they need to show up, and they need to voice their opinion. And I think that that's critical right now. And I'll be honest, Kayla, I think it's a terrible idea to put solar farms on fertile farm ground. Now, go out and find a field or, you know, find an area that that is not in productive farming. And I know we have some of that in our own, farm ground that we own. There's places you could put a solar array, but I'm not going to put one of our farm fields that produces corn, soybeans, potatoes, seed corn into a solar farm because I think it pays me $900 an acre versus paying me $350 an acre. Right. I get the temptation to take the money, but at the same time, farmland is more valuable today than it has ever been. And there are other ways to economically, use the economics out of the farmland values. But again, we need to think about the long term here with food production and also the, our real energy needs can be fulfilled other ways, not by solar farms.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to have you back on to talk solar farms because we didn't even get into the whole China thing. We could talk, I feel like, about it for hours. But while I have you, I did want to circle back to the campaign here for District 3 because I'm just going to say it. Things are getting a little bit heated as this field is really quite crowded. And there is now, and I don't even know if you're aware of this, Marlon, really putting you on the spot here, but there is this letter to the editor going around about one of your opponents. And this letter to the editor was written by a man named Travis McConnell. Travis McConnell is a lawyer. He represented a boy in a 2020 lawsuit that alleged sexual abuse at Pearson Woods. So Travis penned this letter, essentially calling into question the integrity of 3rd District GOP candidate Tim Smith. Tim Smith is the current CEO of Lifeline Youth and Family Services, and Pearson Woods is one of Lifeline's facilities. Now, Marlon, I'm not here to ask you about Tim Smith's business, but I actually had Tim on my program really to respond to this letter to the editor. And he said something that I am hoping that you can respond to. Okay, Marlon, I'm actually going to play the audio. Take a listen to what Tim Smith had to say about this letter.
This is really less about Travis and more about desperate political opponents who are losing badly and just trying to make up ground by doing what politicians do. This is what they do. When they lose on the issues, when they lose in the debates, they just throw mud.
This is more about desperate political opponents who are losing badly. Marlon, who is Tim Smith talking about? Is he talking about you?
No, he's not talking about me. First of all, we're winning in the campaign, and, we're in the lead, and so I know I got a target on my back. I don't know who Tim is talking about. That's an issue between him, this attorney, and I also think, Eric Holcomb, Governor Holcomb, should be involved in that conversation because it's the state that is, of course, administering the program. I think that is, if Tim is alleging that it's me, our campaign has nothing to do with it. We're focused on running our race. And whatever, bad blood there is between this attorney and Tim Smith, that's between them.
It does seem like, and I'm sure you're well aware, Marlon, that there is a lot of negative campaigning happening, particularly behind the scenes. Has that or did all of that surprise you going into this race?
No. I mean, Kayla, unfortunately, this isn't the first time. If you remember in 2019, Tim ran against John Crawford. And that got to be a really messy race. I had the same thing in 2016 when I ran for the U.S. Senate against Todd Young. Mitch McConnell and Todd went after me big time and, alleged a lot of things that just weren't true. And unfortunately, that's what happens in campaigning when people think that's going to give them a chance. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And I think in the long run, people we'll soon find out the truth about whatever is alleged. And but that's one thing I appreciate about the voters in Northeast Indiana. They put their trust in me before. I have always served with integrity and honesty. Politics can be a messy business at times, and it's hard to know what to believe.
Yes, truth. That should be in a bumper sticker, Marlon. Where can folks learn more about you and your campaign?
Yeah, gomarlon.com. That's our website. You can also check us out on social media. I appreciate the opportunity, Kayla, to just be on your program. It's 40 days, I think, until the election, the primary election date in May. So I'd ask people to check out our website, gomarlon.com, and anything that we can do to answer any questions, always happy to do so.
Yeah, May 7th, it is creeping up fast. Marlon, I'm sure we'll have you back on in the future. Thanks for making the time this morning.
You bet. Have a good morning.
That is Marlon Stutzman. He's one of your candidates running for Indiana's 3rd Congressional District.
Podcasts by Federated Media.